The greatest army in history is battering at Fortress Europe. In addition to special news broadcasts, NBC will bring you the latest bulletins as soon as received. Stay tuned to WEAF New York. Having canceled all regularly scheduled programs, NBC invites you to listen tonight at 8 o'clock over most of these stations to Ginny Sims in a program especially arranged for this Invasion Day. Keep tuned all night to NBC for the latest bulletins as they come from the fighting fronts. As part of its invasion coverage, the National Broadcasting Company presents H.V. Kaldenborn with the news and his own analysis of today's momentous events. Mr. Kaldenborn hopes in the course of tonight's program to call in London to interview Brigadier General Smythe, military correspondent of the Kensley newspaper chain. And now here is Mr. Kaldenborn.
Good evening, everybody. Unfortunately, we have just been advised from London that our two-way conversation with General Smythe cannot be set up for tonight. However, we hope to bring it to you tomorrow night and perhaps on other nights of the week when there will be something important to report from London. Supreme Allied Headquarters issued the first report on invasion progress shortly after 6 o'clock tonight. The official Allied communique says Allied forces succeeded in their initial landings. Fighting continues. This means, so far, invasion is successful. Our first objectives were achieved. Losses were low. Allied assault forces met little opposition in the channel or in the air. German coast defenses were weaker than we expected. The British Air Ministry reveals tonight that since May 7th, our planes have hammered huge German naval guns embedded in concrete casemates. Those have stored up on the invasion coast. They have not proved effective. There are indications that tactical surprise has been attained by us at many points. Our control of the sea and of the air gave us speedy control of important points on the French Normandy coast. Intensive air bombardment had eliminated much German coastal artillery. Well over 1,000 troop-carrying aircraft, including gliders, participated in the airborne phase of the invasion. A record use of that kind of air material. More than 4,000 ships and 11,000 first-line planes participated in today's operations. Two more records. Among the ships that bombarded the French coast were the United States cruisers Augusta and Tuscaloosa and the battleship Nevada. The president told us that up to noon, we had lost only two destroyers and one small landing ship tank. General Eisenhower says the naval casualties were very light, especially considering the many ships involved. Air losses totaled 1%, a low figure. The 8th Air Force announces the loss today of only 4 bombers and 7 fighters after hitting more than 100 coastal defense targets. It is significant that Air Marshal Goering said today, invasion must be defeated, even if it means the death of the Luftwaffe. Tonight, it looks as though that is just what it does mean. President Roosevelt said channel weather was the factor which determined the invasion date. D-Day was set for late May or early June. That weather finally delayed invasion 24 hours more. Our first major objective appears to be the Normandy Peninsula. Cherbourg is at the tip of that peninsula, and the historic river port of Caen is its most important railroad center. Our troops have reached Caen, 10 miles inland, and are fighting for the town. On the flat north coast of Normandy, we have control of a beachhead 16 miles long and several miles deep. Bulldozers are already preparing an airstrip near the beach. So far, we have achieved some surprise and much progress. We are pouring in reinforcements. Large numbers of tanks were landed with our troops. Tank battles have developed. Tomorrow, or the day after, the crucial test of our invasion will begin. The Germans will then strike their heavy blows against our beachheads. The barometer is falling tonight in the Dover Straits area. This means unsettled weather, which will make our additional landings a little more difficult. If we can hold our established bases against these first counter blows, we can expand them soon thereafter. Our headquarters expects the first heavy counterattacks to be launched within 48 hours. Our reconnaissance tells us that it is coming. German and Allied reports both indicate that we have now established 3 main beachheads. One, at the mouth of the Orne River. This is on the east coast of the Normandy Peninsula, 25 miles east of Le Havre. The Allies have driven into the stone-housed streets of Caen, where William the Conqueror, in 1066, assembled the fleet with which he invaded England. This part of the Normandy coast is flat. It is ideal for airborne landings. 2. On the east side of the Normandy Peninsula, at the mouth of the Vier River. This second beachhead is 40 miles northwest of Cannes. Cannes, by the way, is spelled C-A-E-N. It is near Isigny on your map, spelled I-S-I-G-N-Y. 3. On the east side of the Normandy Peninsula, where the Allied troops, according to the Germans, straddled the Cherbourg, Carentan, Valognes Road. This landing is just back of Cherbourg. It has already been reinforced and is intended to give us control of the great port of Cherbourg. Familiar to us all as transatlantic travelers. Tonight, a huge Allied naval squadron is cruising off Cherbourg. It is possible that General de Gaulle is on one of these ships ready to land on his native soil. There were other landings near Havre and the Seine estuary, and possibly between Havre and Dunkirk. These, however, may have been mere commando raids to deceive the Germans. There is also a Berlin report that we have invaded the Channel Islands of Guernsey and Jersey off the Normandy coast. This sounds plausible as part of the Normandy operation. We must not be boastful, but at the end of this first invasion day, I cannot help asking these questions. Where is Hitler's Atlantic wall that was to prevent invasion? Where is the hoarded Luftwaffe that was to defeat invasion? Where are the secret weapons that were to be the undoing of invasion? Where is the counter-invasion that was to surprise the British? Perhaps we can find the answer to all these questions in the simple phrase used by General Eisenhower as dawn broke this morning. He smiled and said, "The sun has come out. Today, it is the sun of victory."
Well, Mr. Kaltenborn, we've established contact with Brigadier General Smythe, and he's waiting to talk to you now from London. If you'll just use these earphones, you'll hear his voice.
Righto. General Smythe, can you hear me? Hello, General Smythe in London. I'm going to put to you some questions which you, as the military correspondent of the Kensley newspaper chain in Britain, will probably be able to answer. Question 1. Why have we landed on the Normandy coast 80 miles from Britain instead of across the Straits of Dover only 20 miles from Britain? If you'll be patient, I think the general has heard us. As you know, we've been having a little trouble all day in getting directly through. But frequently, we do get through after a few moments' delay. We're calling General Smythe in London, putting questions to him concerning the invasion. Just before the broadcast began, we were told we couldn't get through. Then, shortly after I went on the air, we were told that we could get through. Now, we've tried, and it seems that we cannot get through. Well, we'll try it again tomorrow night. In any case, you'll be interested in the questions that I wanted to ask this British general. And the first question is, why have we landed on the Normandy coast 80 miles from Britain instead of across the Straits of Dover only 20 miles from Britain? My guess is that he would answer that the Germans had expected us across the Dover Straits, had made their strongest defense preparations in that area, had not expected us to land on the coast of Normandy, therefore were not as well prepared for us there as they were opposite Dover. My second question, what do you consider the outstanding achievements so far registered by our invasion forces? Well, if I were General Smythe, which I am not, I would probably say that the outstanding achievement is to make the landings successfully with very low losses. To have succeeded in placing troops on 3 points of Normandy at a negligible loss in naval vessels, at only a 1% loss in aircraft. In other words, what was the hardest phase of the invasion is accomplished on the first day with relatively minor losses. And my third question, is this our greatest single effort, or are we still capable of making landings in equal force at other points on the invasion coasts of Europe? And I should answer my own question by saying the number of troops that we have landed so far is negligible compared to the number that we have available, and we will be able to make other invasion efforts at other points. For the first time since the war began, the Allies are waiting for the creation of a second front by Russia, probably within 24 to 48 hours, and almost certainly before the end of the week, Soviet armies are expected to throw their demonstrated vast power into a new offensive, synchronized with the Anglo-American invasion of Western Europe. Joint Allied operations, driving against Germany from both east and west, was worked out at the Tehran Conference. The plan is to knock Germany out of the war this year by a many-sided offensive. Soviet artillery on the lower Dniester front is already stepping up the tempo of its barrage. Huge Soviet forces have completed regrouping operations in that area and are believed ready to strike. Russia today has close to 300 divisions and 5 million frontline fighters ready to strike a decisive blow against the common enemy. Thousands of planes and tanks and Cossack cavalrymen are standing alert along the vast Russian front. 7 weeks of preparation for the new offensive finds the Red Army ready. Today, witness the first American bomber raid from our new bases in Soviet Russia. They showered tons of explosives on Galatz, Romania, and then returned to their Russian bases. They are ready to play their part in Russia's forthcoming offensive. The Germans expect a Russian blow on their southern flank. That explains the recent German counterattacks on the Jassy area of Romania, which have made little progress. And here are two bulletins from other fronts. The United Nations radio at Algiers says that Allied armored forces were already at a point about 9 miles beyond the Tiber River and that the Germans were falling back in some disorder to the north and west of Rome. Let us not forget the tremendous importance of the Italian front, our great victory in the conquest of Rome, and now our successful pursuit of the defeated German armies. And MacArthur's headquarters, down in the southwest Pacific, says that American invasion troops on Biak Island, off New Guinea, have now battled to within a mile and a half of Mukmar Airfield, so that there, too, we are about to achieve an important victory in securing control of this airfield within only 900 miles of the Philippine Islands. And on this day, as we look over the war effort of the United Nations, climaxed by the great invasion that was so well launched, we cannot help but feel thankful that fate has given us this opportunity to play this great role in this world drama. And every church in New York City, and I am told in almost every city in the land, today has been filled with devout worshippers who pray to God that our troops may safely accomplish their great mission. Rarely have the churches of this country held a throng so devout, so reverent, so eager to supplicate God for his merciful intervention in this great struggle of all time. And at 10 o'clock tonight, the President of the United States will voice that same prayer that is in the hearts of all our people. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Kaltenborn. As part of its invasion coverage, the National Broadcasting Company has presented H.V. Kaltenborn, Dean of American News Commentators, with the news and his own analysis of today's momentous events. This is the National Broadcasting Company. NBC is standing by to bring you the complete news coverage of the invasion. WEAF news broadcasts will continue through the night, and invasion bulletins broadcast as received.